Page Rei Zayin Aval Be'emes. Okay. Now he takes a turn in the Taich that this is a few things that are not the way I'm davening this all my life, not the way I translated it, but let's see. Aval Be'emes Malasenu Gedayla Mima Alasam. What he's saying here is a different Taich than I thought when I daven. The way I understood this whole thing it talks about the praise of the angels and the heavenly bodies and what they do. The way I understood it, Tisparech Hashem Elokeinu Al Shevach Masi Adecha, means God should be blessed Al Shevach Masi Adecha regarding the praise of your Masi Adayim. He does not translate it that way. Let's see. I mean, most of what he's saying, he means to say Pshat. Now listen to what he says. The Maila, the level of a human being, is greater than the level of the heavenly bodies. There's no free will, not in the orbits, not in the angels. We have a choice to believe in God or to deny, and to say that the heavenly bodies are not creations. They've come by chance, without a creator. And nevertheless, we choose to accept the oil, Malchus Shemayim. What he wants to do here is connect this to Kriya Shema. And since Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, so he's interpreting this bracha as not a reference to just the heavenly bodies, but to human beings who are Makabal Sol Malchus Shemayim.
So when the Malachim say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
What he's saying is that they don't. Which would seem to make it meaningless. If you just set a recording to say you're wonderful, it doesn't make you wonderful.
That's the way Ramesha writes.
He brings a right from a Chumash and Rashi, from Rashi and Chumash, that we should imagine all the heavenly bodies as having bechira. The Rambam in the beginning of a sefer calls the heavenly bodies balideya, creations that have knowledge or have whatever you want to translate balideya.
They're
not free choice. But the way he says is that they would have free choice, but they have no yetzahara, so it's obvious to them. What to do is obvious to them. Do I have free choice to stand on my head now? Yeah. But why in the world would I stand on my head? So in a way, I have free will. I don't have free will because, nobody in his right mind would do it. So what he's saying is, the way Ramesha says to look at it is that, everything has free will and but doesn't have free will, doesn't have choice because the truth is obvious. Meshank any human being to whom the truth is not obvious. Now, Rav Shab is not reading it that way. He's reading it the simple way. Rav Yaakov didn't explain that Rambam that way. The first four chapters of the Rambam, the Yad, where this is found, Rav Yaakov says, are not part of Chochmas HaTorah, they're part of Chochmas HaRambam. He brings a raya because the Magen Mishnah and Kesef Mishnah, none of them wrote a pirish on the first four chapters of Yad HaChazaka. And Rabbi Yaakov used to say that they're Chochmas HaRambam, the Rambam's observation of nature, not necessarily Chochmas HaTorah.
Found in the Talmud, the Magen Mishnah and Kesef Mishnah are curious for the Rambam in the Talmud. And
everywhere else, but not here. So Chai Kanievsky wrote a sefer which he finds Makairis, not everything, but for much, a lot of things that are not Makairis, he has Midrashim or Zayaris or something to have Makar. But there are two ways to look at that, the Rambam in the beginning, at what he wrote. I mean, if it's Chachmas HaRambam, it's not Petal Torah to learn it. but he says it's not part of the Messiah. It's part of the Rambam's estimation. And he looks at the heavenly bodies, the Rabbi Yaakov said, he looked at them as creatures that have free, not free will, but have they're creatures with some type of brainwaves. I don't know.
Two kind of rocks came up that when there was a moon landing where he couldn't understand that these are Galgala that sinks here and then a landing there and I'm working on this Galgala.
Who said this?
That's what the story said. Rabbi Yaakov.
Rabbi Yaakov?
Rabbi Yaakov, yeah, we said this first cross in which talk about the Galgala that sinks here or as those must be in the Chacham of Saranda. That's the way I remember the story.
Wait, if they landed on the moon? Really?
Okay. I remember, I can't, I don't have the right.
Okay. I remember when Rabbi Yaakov said it was after they landed on the moon. Yeah, he was in the bungalow colony where I was. He was staying by his son for a week, and I remember that he said it then. Okay.
He would say
what?
He would say that they had their own
Means it runs contrary to the Torah.
What?
Apikorsis, you might say it's ridiculous, but it's not apikorsis. Okay? If you're gonna say this building is made out of fire, it's ridiculous, it's not made out of fire. But it's not apikorsis, right? So the Rambam's observations are, the truth is, a lot of what the Rambam writes based on the Greek model of the universe, which today we don't believe in. I think I mentioned once that I was listening to a tape of a Chassidish fellow, a very knowledgeable fellow, giving a shiur regarding astronomy to a Chassidish crowd in Satmar, in Williamsburg. They sell CDs. There was one on astronomy, and I think I still have it. So he started by saying, look, I'm not telling you if the earth goes around the sun or the sun goes around the earth. Believe whatever you like. He did a disclaimer. He said, I'm just talking about it, that, you know, the way it seems, but, you know, the sun comes up, sun goes down. But I'm not telling you if Copernicus was right, or he introduced Copernicus to this crowd, and then, he said, I'm not saying Copernicus is right, Copernicus is wrong, I'm not taking a position on it. I think he was clearly a person who understood that Copernicus was right, because as he's speaking, it comes out, but I guess he wanted to not be thrown out, not be dismissed before he began. Anyway, the Rashi and Chumash Ramesha mentioned is the Rashi in the beginning of Re'eh, is it? Where Rashi says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Klai, so look at Shemayim Va'aretz. Shemayim and Aretz, listen to my command. So why don't you listen to my command? So Ramesha says, why don't you Shemayim Va'aretz? They don't have free will. So he says, no, you're supposed to look at it as if they do have free will and they choose to do what God wants them to do. So that's the way you should look at it. And, alright. So that's the way to look at it. Now what he's saying here is a big chiddush. He's saying that in this bracha of Kriya Shema, when we go to Tisparach Hashem Lakeinu, we're talking about human beings praising God, not the heavenly bodies. Listen to how he touches it. Where it's emboldened, the letters. Or the line before that. After we speak about the angels, we choose you. It's our praise is higher, al shvach masiyadecha, over the praises of the heavenly body, shubadarga nala yosem mishvach hamalachim, higher than the angels, habachunim b'shem asya decha, va'al and above ma'ire yara, sheshvach shalanu na'la yaisem, yashach shalmere yosha, ba'alam ha'galgalim, shasisa Hashem yafaruch ha'sela. So he's saying, tisbarech Hashem lekeinu, we praise God, al shevach masya decha, on a higher level than the angels, va'al ma'ire yara, on a higher level than the heavenly body, shasisa Hashem yafaruch ha'sela. And this praise reference is a reference to human beings, all of whom have free will. We talk about our king our Redeemer, Shabbuchusa is Baruch Tesiachais Bepratius Abadei Yisrael, Vashu is Baruch Bari Kedoshim, although Hashem created Kedoshim, Malachi Malam Shar Seyelion, the heavenly angels, Makomakim Yishtab Hashem Chaload, Bezesh Atom Alkeru Amelach Shalam Yisrael, Shanachnu Bebechiraseinu, Mekablam Alatzmeinu, Oil Malchus Shemayim, Varianu Meskavnik, Heis, Loimet Tekev Kriyashma. Now with this, we prepare to say Shema, U'mamshichin.
So, I forgot who it was that said it, but that a malach is really just a shlichus from Hashem, right? So if a malach is just a shlichus, it can't have bechira, because it's a shlichus. Hashem is telling the malach what to do, and that's it. There's no sense of box.
According to that understanding, when Tzaddik has a sefer, Sichas Malachi Ashares, and he says a malach, in a vision, the malach has wings and the malach has feet and etc. But real, a malach is just an expression of Ratzon Hashem. That's why he's saying no two malachim could do the same shlichus, because then they're the same malach. Malach doesn't take up time and space, so then they're the same malach. So then they can't have bechira. He's going to explain. So there are really two levels of malachim that we find, besides different types, but two levels. There are malachim that have a fleeting existence. The Amalochim, like he brings later, they exist for a day. They exist, whatever it is that has to be done, and they disappear. And then there are the eternal Malochim, Gabriel, Michael, all the angels we speak about. So in a sense, although Reb Tzaddik looks at angels as just an expression of God's will, there is some personality, at least, that is ascribed to certain Malochim, however you understand them. Now, Rav Schwab himself, in Parshas Chayesar, I believe, Rav Schwab writes that angels do have a certain level of Bechira. Because we do find, on rare occasion, Rav Schwab himself in his Pirush on... And in one of the Yecheskel Shirim, I spoke this out, that Rav Schwab says that we find angels that were punished. The angels of Sadaim said, Mashchisem Anachnu, we are going to destroy, and they shouldn't have said that. They should have said God is going to destroy. See, afterwards they had to say, "I say we don't know whatever it was." So they were punished. If they have no free will, what were they punished? So Schwab writes something which applies to other things as well. That although malachim don't have a choice as to what to do, the level which they do it, they do have a choice. In other words, they can do it with total devotion, or they could do it yitzitzazan, or like it's like everything else. If someone tells you to do something, you do it. There are many ways you could do it, different levels of accuracy or devotion. So this is what Rav Schwab writes regarding angels, and that's how an angel could be punished. And that idea, it was suggested also, is the idea of the existence of human beings after the Yetzer Hara is gone during Yom Ha'isa Mashiach, which seems to be purposeless. There's no Yetzer Hara. Even though there's no Yetzer Hara, there are different levels with which a person devotes himself or extends himself to do Ratzon Hashem.
But isn't that in fact, once there's no Yetzer Hara, how would there be different levels?
Different levels of Yetzer Taiv, of devotion. The human beings have every human being has a unique personality. Everybody is different. Kashem Shem, Parsifayim, Daimais, Kach, Indaisayim, Daimais. Just like people look different one from the other, also people have different personalities. The personality you create remains with you forever. People don't afterwards become robots. Whatever personality a person creates in this world remains with him. We find by the spirit of Navis HaYisraeli. Navis HaYisraeli was killed by Achav's wife. And later, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in heaven needed someone to take revenge from Achav, the Pasuk says that the spirit, Rashi says, the spirit of Navos came forth and said it. And Hashem says, say, go out and be a spirit that misleads Achav to go into battle and be killed. And Chazal say, tsei memichitzasi. It was a desire for vengeance, for revenge that the spirit had. And God said, go, do the shlichus, but then you're a level lower. because of your desire to take revenge. And I think it's Rav Shmulevitz makes the point that Rav Shmulevitz says, you know, like, it's an angel, it's no Yetzirah, why is it doing it? He says, whatever personality you create for yourself remains. A person who lives a life looking to take revenge, he will, against his will, remain with that personality. A person who does certain things, I mean, it'll be silly, he won't be able to control himself, and whatever personality he creates for himself will remain. So the same thing, the devotion to doing Ratzon Hashem, what you create is what you have. That's really what you have. So Chazal compared it to a rich man who wanted his son to make it on his own. So he gave him $1 million to invest. He said, you got to pay me back the $1 million. So his son invested it and made money, and then he returned $1 million. So everything he now has is his. I mean, he got started by his father, but everything he earned on his own. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a chelak l'kam yimal to a person, a certain part that's godliness of the human being. But then the person has to create whatever he creates, whatever he makes of it, and that's what remains with the person. That he creates of himself, he makes of himself, that sort of remains. Anyway, so this is the idea. The chiddush of this piece is Rav Schwab's insight that in this last part of Tisbarech, we're talking about human beings. It's interesting what he says later is that the praise of Yotze Misharsim, Hashem Misharsav, Kulam Aimdim Rumailam, he says the Kulam includes people. I want to skip to Kulam Ahuvim, to the last paragraph on page Reish Ches. Also, not the way I would translate it when I daven every day. When I say Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Berurim, Kulam Gibayrim, Reish Ches, I think it means all the heavenly bodies. Kulam, all the angels are Ahuvim, Berurim, right? Gibayrim. He says, no, Kulam Ahuvim, the word Kulam, they all, Kailo Kalbali Bechira, it's referring to humans. Tzaddikim who suppressed the Yetzirah when they lived on the earth. Gambali Tshuva. The similarity is they come up to heaven, Ahuvim, beloved. And in the Kulam is also the angels who never sin. And the different heavenly bodies, kulam ahuvim, kulam berurim, unekim b'kol chet, borer is clear, kulam gibayrim, b'gvura shnas la b'kadosh baruch hu, b'chulam bein ha-malachim, bein nishmas ha-tzadikim, again, the kulam is the righteous and the angels, kulam oisim be'im ov'yira ritzayin kainam, b'chulam peischem espiyah, b'kdusha v'tahara, b'shira v'zimra, m'varchin v'shabchin v'farin, u'maritzin, m'loshin oritz, which is strong, Marisim, they express the strength of Hashem, Magdishin, Mamlichin, the Shem Okel. Ain Hefsik be Mamlichin Le Es Shem, Shakel Hem Shechechad. Now, does anybody know why in the Siddur we break before Es Shem? Magdishin Mamlichin, and then people say Es Shem. So he's saying there's no Hefsik. Ein hefsik be mamlichin la shem shakel hem shechechad. V'tiktu loyme b'ze asor l'shar shoshvach, etc. I see now in footnote Yud Aleph, he says, chasam seifer b'hanagayisav l'shulchan aruch, simen tez bir, tam aminig l'hafsik, why do we break between mamlichin and Hashem? Api mashkos av ator, l'hafsik be mamlichin la shem, lo l'havi meis shem. Oh, wow. Shouldn't sound like mamlichin es shem, like, we daven very fast, so we say Mamlichim Meis Shem. So that's the whole reason we make the Hefsik. Wow. Okay. But really, it's a Hemshech, Mamlichim Es Shem. They have a dash to show that it continues. Curious, they have it. That's interesting. They have the dish to show that it flows. Magdish Mamlichin Hashem. What about the next page? Kedusha Kolm Kiyachon Oinim. Va'imrim Beira, I would think I should have a dash too. Kolm Kiyachon Oinim. They all answer together. Ba'imrim, Piyira. What? Piyira and Kadosh? Yeah, really. We have a colon, yeah. Colon means a stop, pretty much. Does it mean a stop? Well, no, usually the stop is a period. Interesting. By Mariv, you see they have a dash. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, Be'amuno Kol Zayis, they have a dash, which also makes sense. By Mariv, probably by Emes V'Yatziv also, right? Oh, it's fun. Yeah, they have a dash by Emes V'Yatziv. You see there, they have a question. Machusta Rov Anecha B'Kem V'Nei Moshe, Ze Keli Anu. And it goes, Va'amru Hashem Yimlech Lailam Vo'ed. They again have a colon. So I don't know how she could darshan the art scroll, but seems dashes, colons, and periods. Okay. Be that as it may. Okay, anyway, this is, I just think it's a new pshat, and to tell you the line, one of the rebbeim said who couldn't control his elementary school class, and he just was quitting because he couldn't control them. And someone said, "They're such wonderful kids, they're delightful kids." He said, "Yeah, kulam ahuvim, kulam berurim, kulam gibayrim. They're all wonderful kids. The problem is kulam peischem espiyem. You can't control." So a wonderful line. All right, Mitzvah Hashem. Next week we will start Kedusha, the Yishtabach. And in the part I skipped, he explains Kedusha here. I don't know why it's here. He explains that you go up three times Kaddish Kaddish. We don't do that by Berachas Kriyas Shema. Confusing to me as to why it's here.